several things we want to cover. Last Tuesday, we were waiting for some announcement from the Fed, and we did get that. We talked about what to expect there. I think the markets were a bit pleased with the move by the Fed of 50 basis points on Fed funds and 50 basis points on the discount rate. Equity markets certainly reacted well to that. But in the aftermath, I think markets have calmed down a little bit. In fact, we've had some other things going on. And a number of the questions that I have that have come in to me regarding, you know, what's going on with the NAV following a Fed rate cut, is that good for us or not? Number one, a Fed rate cut is good for us. That should be fundamentally a help to us. It's going to take, some time for that to take effect, but it also is going to take more than 50 basis points. But it is certainly a move in the right direction. Number one, for restoring confidence and restoring some order in the credit markets, we've got to have a steeper yield curve. That is, you know, short rates need to be lower than long rates. And those of you who followed, you know, our, my commentary and who've watched the markets, at 5.25 Fed funds, and we had, you know, the entire yield curve beyond that lower than 5.25. That inverted yield curve makes credit markets very difficult to catch a bid or to begin to revive whenever there is no advantage to a carry trade. That is, no advantage to borrowing money based on short term rates and investing longer term. So that was, you know, we've talked about the delevering event causing a lot of supply in the marketplace and pushing prices down. Basically, just a lot more bonds for sale than there were bids for because there was no leverage available. As the Fed lowers rates, that will provide the incentive to put more larger positions on. But again, we've got more work to do from the Fed's perspective. That was good news. Number two, our borrowing costs on the closed-end funds are tied to LIBOR and Fed funds to some extent. So lowering those borrowing costs certainly helped. So from that perspective, I do believe what happened last week would be viewed positively as a fundamental positive for all of the funds that we manage. Then moving on from there, the market's reaction, stocks took off with that. Corporate credit began to move a little better with that. And to some extent, we had a little movement up in the credit markets all the way across until the end of the week last week. And then on Thursday and Friday, we were down again last week significantly, I think, you know, several pennies on all the funds. And that was really due to an unwinding of a large CDO issuer. A large CDO issuer had to, you know, liquidate its warehouse line, and that was to the tune of some 12 plus billion dollars of mortgage-backed securities hit the market last week and was, you know, put out for bid. That, of course, you know, scared the dickens out of all the dealers. And so, in an effort to hedge their position, they, you know, the obvious short is the ABX index. So even with a Fed rate cut early last week, by the end of last week, we were back to new lows, mind you, on the ABX index. And given that the ABX index is now a significant input into the pricing procedures that go on with all of the mortgage-related securities in our funds, CDOs, what have you, that have any mortgage relationship to them, the ABX input being down a great deal had a lot to do with the weakness in our NAV. Nothing specifically with regard to specific bonds, but the mortgage index itself was particularly weak at the end of the week last week. And again, this week we get the remittance reports are all due out today, I believe, on all of the ABX underlying issues. So the general perception is we expect continued weakness in the housing market. So don't expect to see a lot more a lot of improvement in the ABX indices this week as those remits are digested. However, last week's downtrade, I think, puts everything down to new lows. So it is certainly a discounting bad news to begin with. And as we've talked about before, that big liquidation of the CDO liquidation, warehouse liquidation of over $12 billion, certainly, again, tipped the boat where everybody was leaning in the same direction, and with the broker-dealer community not willing to take on any long positions without having some hedge on, that really pushed the ABX tranches again to new lows. Also, I'll mention a number of questions, you know, are related to the intermediate fund and to what's going on with the NAV there. And, you know, I just have to go back and say, yes, that the subprime was just the beginning of this credit cycle. You know, and it goes back to March, whenever we really began to see subprime taking a toll. But as we've mentioned before, it really has spread much further than that, and we've seen it in the credit markets. You know, it's not to be too glossy over the top of this, but what's going on with the Dow 30 really has nothing, you know, it doesn't anywhere like resemble what has been going on in the credit markets. You know, the subprime issue has spread to other mortgage-related sectors, Alt-A, which were, you know, A borrowers, but with not all the documentation necessarily. This was called Alternative A. So Alt-A began to spread out. And then as the credit crisis sort of wore on, you got very little in the way of bids for any structured product, which would include CDOs or CMOs of any sort. And then I guess most recently, has been a much wider spread in corporate bonds, which, you know, followed through to corporate high yield and then to corporate investment grade as well. All of these spreads widened out. Last year, about this time, in the third quarter, we added duration to our intermediate fund or added duration by putting on some longer dated financial assets, you know, Barclays, Royal Bank of Scotland, J.P. Morgan, Merrill Lynch, etc. Some longer dated financial securities that were cheap last year this time we added, and it helped our performance a great deal at the end of last year. In fact, we had a great second half of last year. And this year that's hurt because interest rates have actually gone up in the first half of the year. Now we get a Fed rate cut. And if we look at where interest rates were before the Fed rate cut and after the Fed rate cut, really from the 3 to 10 year part of the curve, we're actually higher in rates than we were before the rate cut. I do think that rates will continue to drift down because I think more Fed rate cuts are on the way. But with that in mind, with regard to the intermediate fund, you know, one of our positions just a for instance, and I'll have to kind of cuss the numbers here because I don't know exactly, but we had, you know, a large position in Barclays Bank, which is a AA bank, which was trading about 180 basis points over the 30-year Treasury. And that went all the way out to, you know, close to 300 over, 3 to 310 over the Treasury curve. So 120 or 130 basis points out is 12 points or so on a long bond. And we had a number of positions like that in the insurance, broker-dealer, and banking positions that widened significantly through the summer as this financial stress or the credit market stress carried over to the financials. In fact, we had a very large deal. We began to get a little bit better bid into that sector last week, and we had a large issuer. Barclays was able to do another deal, and it cleared the market and did very well, tightened very well. And then today, another large issuer is in the market in financials, and that's Royal Bank of Scotland, and that deal appears to be taken up quite well. So perhaps some spreads will begin to tighten back in the longer-dated financials, which should help the intermediate fund to some degree. How quickly that translates into pricing is I don't know, and I don't know how quickly that will follow through. But, you know, several things have been working on the NAV, even in spite of the fundamentals going on with regard to the Fed rate cut, and that is spreads have been wider on literally everything. And number two, the ABX index, which I mentioned earlier, is now still at new lows. And finally, with regard to whether it's the high income fund or the intermediate fund, even if it's an investment grade piece or an investment grade structure, if it is in the CDO or CLO sector, in other words, it's a structured piece, then the bids have just been very, very low. We could take, for example, a CDO backed by corporate high yield bonds and take the underlying high yield bonds in that structure, if say there are 50 to 100 different bonds in that structure, and those bonds will not have priced down as much as the actual CDO itself. So there's just a distaste for and a lack of liquidity and a lack of bids for anything with structure. Our tact was that we could buy the structured CDO cheaper than we could buy the underlying collateral. Well, that was true at the time of purchase, but it's become even more true today as the market and liquidity for and bid for structured product continues to be very strained. So that really accounts for the net asset value volatility that we've experienced in all of the funds here, particularly at the end of last week and the beginning of this week. It doesn't necessarily reflect any acceleration or deceleration in liquidations or what have you. It's just a volatility that is coming from the ABX index, as well as the fact that even after the Fed rates, rates have actually gone up slightly. Again, I think that will settle down. But at the end of the day, we do view the move by the Fed to be one in the right direction. And two, it will be a help to us in our credit orientation of our funds. But let me say that it's going to take more than just one move, and we'll see. Again, the headlines of the day continue to point to lower consumer confidence and weaker housing and that sort of thing. And so I, depending on what how the fourth quarter begins to shape up with regard to GDP growth will have a big impact on where the Fed begins to move from here. Other questions are regarding how much is left in terms of selling to unwind, or are there other do we expect more supply to come into the marketplace? And there are general questions that I guess generally relate to how much more unwinding of this leverage trade do we expect? And again, I don't know for sure. Can't pin that down. But I do know that there is right now. There's just no leverage being applied, and no repo lines are very difficult to come by. One of the things I follow is the production of and the release of the CMO market, and how it. How the market is now accepting bundled mortgage-backed product, and we've talked about this before. But for instance, the total CMO issuance in June of this year was about $90 billion for the month of June. For July, it was $63 billion. For the month of August, it was $38 billion. And so far, for the month of September, just under $3 billion. So as you can see, the market's acceptance of mortgage-related product is awfully stingy at the moment. It is a fundamental part of the finance of, the American fabric of homes and ownership and that sort of thing, and it will return, but right now it is in an awfully strained position. So talking about the NAVs, I think that applies to all of the funds with regard to the ABX index. Again, that plays a material role in the pricing formulas that go into what's going on with the index as it is translated into specific holdings. I don't see a lot of change with regard to Fed policy until more toward the end of October. We'll have to watch for more numbers. I do expect another cut in Fed funds this year. I think the fourth quarter will start showing up a bit slower than expected. And there are other questions regarding, the ownership, other questions regarding, our bonds in terms of, things that are valued very, very low and still paying. What do we expect, and how do we, what do we expect in terms of the recovery of value? I simply can't comment on what, what the future might hold. I don't know, but that's pretty obvious. If I knew, I would certainly have higher NAVs than I do now. But I will tell you this, that I do believe that some of our bonds are discounted pretty severely, and I do expect some to recover. Now, I know that not all of them will, as is the case whenever the stock market was down for 3 years in a row into 2001 and 02. There's still some line items out there that didn't recover, and that'll be the case as well. But then there are others that did, and so our focus is to try to find the ones that will recover the most and try to get more money allocated there and find the ones that will provide us the most upside going forward. Don't have a lot else to say there. We continue to work on the portfolios on a day-to-day basis. We are holding a little more in the way of liquidity in terms of trying to, you know, make ourselves available to take advantage of any opportunities in the marketplace. For instance, like the RBS deal that I just mentioned to you as well, that should be one that will trade well. So feel like that beginning to get a little traction and begin to get some money reallocated across some of the funds, and look forward to, you know, having some better days going forward. Thank you for joining me. Continue to send the questions in. Courtney will sort of array the questions and sort of group those questions up so that we can kind of cover, you know, not 25 questions, but, you know, group them into questions that are generally cover generally the same topics and try to cover them that way. So we'll try to be very responsive to your questions, and thank you for joining me. Have a good day.